One of these days, I'm going to walk into the church with a hearing aid. Probably two hearing aids. I've got moderate hearing loss in both ears, which I discovered after both our daughters delicately suggested I should have my hearing checked. It's always the family, right? But I have to admit that for some time now I've been watching TV with closed captioning. Actors mumble. And my conversations have been peppered with the word, what? So, as I have been contemplating this morning's text, you'll forgive the expression, my ears perked up, and I confess to some envy. Jesus puts his fingers in the man's ears, he spits, and then he touches the man's tongue and tells him to be opened. Ephatha. That is so much easier and cheaper than hearing aids. But it's also a little weird. I mean, it's already weird to have a stranger touch your tongue, but after he spits on his hands? The image is so physical, so tactile, so sensory. This is no speech from a mount to people below or from a boat to people on the shore. This is up close and personal, really personal. If someone is close enough to you to put his fingers in your ears and touch your tongue, then you are looking right into his eyes. The text also says that it's private, which to me emphasizes the singular nature of the moment. So there they are, eye to eye, no distractions. Remember, the eye is the window of the soul. And Jesus says, Ephatha, be opened. And suddenly, it doesn't matter how literal the text has been about ears, saliva, and tongue. You know the text has made the move from the literal to the allegorical, from story to parable. Can you imagine a more amazing confrontation? Standing eye to eye with Jesus, his hands on your face, his words addressing you, you specifically, and saying those words, be opened. I don't need the literal, I'll make peace with hearing aids. What I want is that invitation. The one that reaches deep into my psyche, coaxing open all of the closed places within me. Be opened. To be an adult is to be wounded. It means you have lived long enough to suffer pain, loss, humiliation, and regret. So the question is not if you've experienced these things, but how you've dealt with them. Many of us close off parts of ourselves through various forms of amnesia, forgetting, denying, compensating, numbing. A lot of it happens unconsciously. The human psyche can be compared to a house with lots of wonderful open spaces, delightful nooks, fabulous decor, but these wounded places would be like locked rooms, boarded up windows, bricked up alcoves, exits blocked. Sometimes this repressed material sneaks out the window at night and comes into our dreams. But a lot of it really is unconscious. Or maybe the house analogy doesn't work for you. In the words of Isaiah, it's the wilderness areas of our souls, barren. And here's a key idea. thirsty. In the fertile areas of our being, lots of life, lots of vegetation, but in these wilderness areas, there are no pools into which we can look and do the work of self-reflection. There are no waters that could enable healthy growth. The depth psychologist Carl Jung has another word for this. He calls this aspect of the psyche the shadow, the parts of ourselves that we can't or won't remember, the parts of ourselves we would rather never saw the light of day. The ego, all those open, sunny rooms and beautiful oases, doesn't want the shadow to have eyes to see, ears to hear, legs to walk, and most especially, a mouth to speak. We generally like our shadow selves to be disabled so that they can't intrude on our earnest waking selves. What happened in that locked basement room of my psyche stays in that locked basement room of my psyche. But here's the thing. The shadow, the wilderness, the boarded up rooms, these places hide more than our repressed or rejected selves. The shadow, the wilderness, the boarded up rooms, these places are also the site of buried treasure, pearls of wisdom, golden nuggets of insight. And it turns out that the more we can open up the doors and the windows, bring water to the wilderness, open shadows to the light, be open, the more whole we become. We see what we've been denying, we hear what we've been forgetting, and most crucially, we move forward from where we have been stuck. Be opened. What Jesus says to this man is a more explicit statement of the theme that the gospel has been developing for the last several chapters. In story after story, Jesus is shown as upsetting the status quo. He eats with sinners. He heals on the Sabbath. He takes on the purity laws regarding food and eating and touching the sick. Kristen read today from chapter 7. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus questions these rules and laws, saying that the people have conflated their own traditions with the commandments of God. They're in a rut. They are so stuck on tradition, on the status quo, the way they've always done it, their ingrained beliefs and attitudes, that they can no longer see God in their midst, hear God's prompting, walk the path of justice, or speak truth to power. They have put God in a locked room, a wilderness. They have made God the shadow. Because there is such a thing as social amnesia, too. Countries, like individuals, can board up rooms in the national psyche and deny that they are there. Broken treaties, slavery, internment camps. Religions can sometimes mistake culture for God, making culture the oasis and consigning God to the wilderness. In some extreme situations, National Socialism comes to mind, it is difficult to impossible for God to be heard. In the same way, then, what makes individuals whole is likewise true for nations. As a country or a church or any powerful institution, the more we can open up the doors and windows, bring water to the wilderness, shine light on the shadows, be open, the more whole we become. As a country, We see what we have been denying, hear what we have been forgetting, and most crucially, move forward from where we have been stuck. Be opened. See and hear God in human need and human compassion, not in human power. That you get that. We talk about that all the time here. God is everywhere, and especially with those who hurt, who suffer injustice, who grieve. To connect with the presence of God in the other is the beginning of compassion. This is true with the non-human world also. To connect with the presence of God in the other is the beginning of compassion for the planet too. But here's the point. If God is in the marginalized other, speaking in social and political terms, then God is also in the marginalized or othered parts of ourselves. I'll say that again. If God is in the other, in social and political terms, then God is also in the othered parts of ourselves. I said earlier that there is treasure buried in the rejected places. There has to be. Because if God is everywhere, then God is in the locked room. God is in the wilderness areas. God is in the shadow. God is in all the thirsty parts longing for water. God is in all of the parts of us longing to be whole. Nations or religious institutions can get hung up on the status quo or tradition or the way things are, as Jesus points out in this gospel. But we have our own version of the same thing. We get hung up on habits of thinking, ingrained attitudes, events from the past, and we drag those things with us from one moment to the next. We drag our locked rooms with us, our wilderness areas, our shadow selves. But God isn't about the status quo. God isn't about staying put. And sometimes the most extraordinary idea that God can give to us is a new way to understand our own past experiences. Sometimes the most novel way for God to call us forward is to remember, recollect, represent to us our own lives in new ways that lead to integration and healing. We don't need fingers in our ears or for our tongues to be touched, not literally at least. But we do need the message embedded in the story. Be opened. We don't have to look for God, because the message of Jesus is clear. God is already here, within and among us. Open the eyes and ears of your souls and look within. God opens the locked doors, brings water to the wilderness, draws what was shadowed into light. God is in the insight. God is in the working of memory. God is in the way forward, even when it is a way out of no way. Be opened.
Let us pray. Loving God, we realize that we try to do our best in our own lives. We try to do best by those who love us and care for us, and we try to do best for ourselves. There is so much that goes on inside of us that others don't see. There's a whole inner life. We're conscious of part of that life, and there's so much that we are not even realize about our own internal life. We have the sense that that's where you work with us. That's where you pull and push and connect us to other people. We are connected to other people in so many different ways. We hug other people, we shake their hands, we put our arm around their shoulders. All acts of love. But the real connection comes from within, from the heart. And that's where we are connected not only to one another, but also to you. And your spirit, your power wells up within us to life. So that's where we experience aloneness. That's where we might experience wilderness. And yet we recognize the fact that that's where life is. Like a well, like a fountain, like water coming from deep, deep within. Your life infuses us inwardly. And that gets expressed outwardly as we treat others with respect. Loving God, be with us as we try to live our lives as best we can. Help us to be open not only to one another, but also to ourselves. And even if we're closed, you see those closed spaces. You see behind the curtain. You see what gets pushed down. And we know that at some level, by being open to ourselves and to others, that is the pathway to health. That is the pathway to well-being. We gather here today to simply thank you for the story of the life of Jesus, his teachings, his death, his resurrection, all of that being a sign of transformation. And loving God, we thank you for the transformation that goes on in our own lives. Some of those parts of ourselves need to be let go of, need to die in order to be transformed. So loving God, we follow the example of Jesus, simply entrusting our lives into your hands and the lives of our loved ones. And even the lives of our enemies, we entrust into your hands. Amen.